We're going to spend the next couple days leading to the Fast of Tammuz this weekend on graven images and what they mean and how they started. So bear with me a minute because we're going to go back to the beginning. All right? Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 2, excuse me. 2. This is something we haven't studied since 1988, so it's 21 years ago. I don't know that. I think it was just bananas. Verse 15. And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Remember in Hebrew that it says, "In dying thou you shall die."
I have a question real quick. Why did they capitalize the of every tree? Does that mean something? Almost like they're trying to say something.
I don't know where you're, what verse you're talking about.
16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying,
No, it just... Typography. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
I don't like the quote.
Verse 18.
Verse
18.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. We've talked before many times that he had to name the names. It was a test, because in the naming of the names, once he named something, then he was separate from it. And so we're going to talk about this mystery of name and see if we can understand it in regard to graven images, okay? First of all, a name is an agreed-upon sign or substitute stimulus taken from association with something that is dissimilar. Its power comes from repetition. You've heard me say before that every one of us had to learn the names of things. And your mother said, "Glass," and pointed at it. And by repetition, then in each one of us, that's how we learned this was called a glass. You understand that? It is a sound in the awareness of which there is no sound. Once you've named it, you don't have to make a sound to see it as separate. A name in reality is intangible, immeasurable, and unlocatable without the presence or image of what is being named. Names are, in effect, for this discussion, spiritual, but they're instead of physical. Names are means of directing the attention of properly conditioned persons to that which one thinks. In other words, we've talked before that every one of us had to agree without having the power to agree that all these little sounds and grunts and groans would be names of something. You see that? So it was in effect an unwittingly It was an unwitting conspiracy among an entire society to agree that those grunts or groans would mean something, and these scribbles on a piece of paper would mean something. Without the use of names, you can't place, date something. And without names, there could be no history and no tomorrow. Your mind would not know what to do with it. Without having names, there would be no history and no tomorrow. And there can be no names without an agreed upon set of sounds or marks which make up the name. And language is the tying together of names. And it indexes existences and occurrences. Language directs the sequence, the attention to the sequence. It produces expectation of what's to follow. So that means you have a bunch of names and you put them in a sequence to direct your attention to what's coming up next. Everybody understand that? And everything we know, we think we know, in the mind and in the soul, comes through our five senses. Speech enables members of a group to cooperate. Language and its use enables each person to avail himself of the talent and the genius of others, living or dead. So we do this all the time in reading. In reading the scriptures, we get it. An understanding of history and of what occurred or what was intended to be pointed, that was intended to point us to. God's purpose in the Bible was to direct our attention with every word to the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it was done through an innumerable series of parables and patterns and types and tropes, so that because there's no language for spirit, so everything has to be in a parable. Amen. The union. No, this is an interesting. There's an old proverb. Well. The act of naming caused the fall. We've talked about that many times. He named with God's agreement as a part of his test. And the test was to transform the innocence that Adam and Eve had. They weren't aware of anything except others or the other one. But they weren't, before the naming, they were just part of him. Everything was part of him. But once I name it, then I separate it. There's an old proverb that says, who makes two blades of grass to grow where one grew before is said to be a benefactor of mankind. And who makes one word to serve for many words is a greater benefactor. And that's where we get what's called genius. Genius is the ability to take two or more unrelated things and put them together in a new form or a new purpose. And then the union of ear and eye enable man to supplement sounds or names of things by reducing the previous thing of the hieroglyphics or pictographs to an alphabet. The combination of the two kinds of agreement of ear and eye of these signs is said to be one of man's greatest achievements. But to God, it was the fall. Now what about, just think of it. I could not communicate with you and you could not hear me. Hear anything that I desired of you with our senses without this fundamental agreement. that these grunts and groans and squiggles on a paper would mean something. You got that in your head? Do you understand that from God's perspective, the naming of things was the fall, the end, because it produced the fall?
Well, it sort of set up the test.
Yeah.
It was like, and since the fall, we can't use language without it being all screwed up.
Amen.
But I don't know if that naming of things was the fall.
No, naming of things caused the fall.
Yeah.
Without the use of names, reasoning can occur. And you forgive me for reading this. These notes are from 21 years ago.
Sounds like it.
Huh? Sounds like it. Shut up. And without the use of names, there would be reasoning, i.e. reasoning, there would be innocence, i.e. before the fall. Without reasoning, there could be no consciousness of sin or guilt or error, which is a biggie. With the use of names, you can be conscious of sin, guilt, and error. When there is a full consciousness of sin, guilt, and error, then that produces repentance, which produces abandonment, which produces, in one way, you returning to the first state of innocence, but now innocence by your life and all of the stuff you've been through, that abandonment, it produces holiness. That's all it. Innocence. Holiness is tested innocence. Huh?
I said, oh, okay.
All right. Men, in effect, say, let us pretend that this sound or this arrangement of marks is that thing, and this other sound, an agreement of marks, is the other thing. We're pretending. You see that? And it's all we've known, so it's hard to understand this. What?
Well, pretending is a hard word to digest there. It's like the conspiracy works better for me on this.
We're pretending without knowing we're pretending.
Yeah, that's why when you're talking about conspiracy, that makes us sound like we know what we're doing.
Well, the example of this, the great pretending, if you will, is the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. That is a pretending, because in deep inside you know that's not true.
You don't feel brotherly towards
not to the human race. The only truth or spirit that is, was, or will be is the Word. The Word made flesh. Everything else in your consciousness is a lie or pretending to be in agreement. That's why this mystery of His, the mystery meaning of truth, it's that which does not change with time. So Jesus Christ is the only truth. As we've said before, this Bible isn't the Word of God, it's words about the Word. But think of everything, every value system that you have, every idea, every plan, every agenda instead of Word. Man, because of the fall, tries to gain his own redemption by education, by accomplishment, by sweet thoughts, by every other thing other than the one Redeemer. And the redemption herein means to the man, it means that you get you out of trouble. It'll give you purpose. It'll give you status. It will give you, that's man's attempt at redemption. And all of them are a lie. But you have to, because the fall, we have to now return, we must, in our mind at least, push all things to the edge. Expand the tent pegs, lengthen the cords. Why? So that you can see that all is vanity, all is empty and fruitless. And all of your ideas and all your hopes and all your dreams are in reality lies, and death is the example of it. Oh no, that's not true because my heritage... No, that's just more lies. Without names, a person cannot think of the past or plan for the future. Yeah, we could go on. What we call the laws of nature or science, they're simply a sentence which obeys nature, but it's always within defined limits. All science is based on one assumption, that time is linear. If time isn't linear, then all science crumbles. A little bit.
Science needs time to repeat activities, and that's their evidence of proof. It
right.
happens over and over again. And
but in that defined parameter.
Right.
Now, as you age, what you do, remember, most teenagers will go through the state where they somehow know that the value system of whatever society they're living in is crap. Now what happens? We go through that stage, or like I did, I tried to be a rebel, but then I found out I was just one of the non-conforming conformists, so it was just another group lie. But as you age, you constantly narrow the parameters to give you meaning in life. And because you narrow the parameters, your value systems and your ideas become set in stone, but only within that very limited parameter. So in effect, everybody is moving from at birth, your innocence, to unlimited possibilities, back to this little teeny closet where you can have a meaning for your life. This is what Harry saw so clearly just before his death. Remember, his constant thing was, well, it's just right, goddammit. Everybody knows it. Well, no. But just before his death, about 3 months before his death, he saw all the stuff that he thought was right was wrong. The only thing right is the Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ in you, the only hope of glory. And that can be realized only at your death. Not if either death by accepting it now or actual death. What naming does another thing. naming changes the three-dimensional word into an illusion of a four-dimensional word. So man tries to bind time. And this is hard to explain, but the world as we know it is three-dimensional. But we, in our thought process and naming and projecting or going back, we try to bind or enclose time within the parameters that confirm our opinions. A little bit?
Well, it's like our description of it, of the memory to ourselves, is like a photograph is to the reality. It makes it two-dimensional or something.
I'll tell you something.
Three-dimensional.
Yeah. And I found out this was true after spending 28 days in deposition with Tilton's attorney. The stuff that I was convinced was true in my memory, what happened, you know, way back, wasn't true. And that experience is a critical one, because we are convinced that our memory of events is true. But you find out this weird thing, that you will consistently remember things about your past that confirm your view of self today. You understand? If you have a victim mentality, then your remembrance of the past will always be you as a victim of someone or something. If you're some kind of positive thinking guy, the same is true. You will find out that your memories of the past conform to the image that you have of yourself today. They're all lies.
Now we're talking about graven images, aren't we?
That's what we're doing.
It's like maybe you don't even remember anything about that next life you used to have. Your imagery so is with her doesn't exist. This is not part of what you want.
Everything in the soul and in the mind, as I said earlier, comes from your senses. This is what this false god Molech is. Remember, again, we'll pick on Harry. Harry always had to have a face on his Molech. It was to him a coach for life. Huh?
A face.
He had to have a person, put a person's face on his god, his false god, Molech. So his god of the universe was this, he's a big ad agency executive that we met with.
Richards?
Stan Richards. Stan Richards was the ultimate in the view of Harry's view of himself. And if he would have been around Stan Richards, then Stan Richards would have been his coach. You know, when he was here, he had my name on his Molech. And so I could affect his happiness if I didn't acknowledge his saying hello. What did I do? I hardly ever acknowledged him saying hello. But do you understand what each one of us has that? We have some kind of face on this false image. For a long time, this one singular person I won't mention, the face on his Molech was his mother. Then his face on his Molech was me. And now his face on his Molech is his wife. It takes a tremendous effort or seeing the stupidity of it to break through this pattern. Give me an example.
Well, Molech was like you offered the kids to Molech to pass through the fire, and which, if you look at it, it's like for approval or not. If you want,
amen.
You like die.
Amen.
And what's your example?
Hmm?
What's your example?
You just gave
one. I just gave three of them.
Yeah.
He was, but I interrupted.
John interrupted. That's okay.
When a child becomes aware that everything has a name to man, his parents, they think it's a great achievement. To God, he has fallen, or the evidence of his fall. Ancient people thought that the name was part of the name. And by the name, they could control behavior of the named, i.e., you know, the what do the voodoo guys do with a doll? And that's so, and all ancient. Yeah, and then they stick a pin in it, and the guy hurts. Well, that whole thing only has power if you believe in it. You have to give it importance in order for it to have anything. Modern Christians do the same with the word Jesus. Spiritual freedom is freedom not from physical causation, but the awareness of the physical. Through awareness of the spiritual. That's why Jesus, or Paul said, we look not at the things that are seen. We look not at the name that we have given. We see through it. And what do we see? Hopefully you see in the New Jerusalem in all, as all and in all. But at least I hope you see Jesus in all, instead of the named. And this is where it gets to be the graven images. Because the graven images are what prevent you from seeing through and keep you looking at. And that's what, from Tammuz to Ab is about. It's about, my God, all these names that I've given to everything and all this value systems concerning the names, they all are meaningless idols. And now I can see, not look at, but see through everything.
If you're looking at, you're looking for yourself, and it's everything's a reflection of you.
Well, that's part of it, but it's deeper than that. It's if you see the thing as named. My greatest example of this. One of the steps in me becoming a believer was I was appointed to the board of directors of the War on Poverty. And I didn't know anything about poor. I lived in a high rise in Turtle Creek. I parked my car in a garage. I drove from that garage to the office at One Main Place. I went up the elevator, and I only saw what I wanted to see. But I got on the board of directors of War on Poverty, and I didn't know anything about what poor meant. And so what I did, I knew that I didn't know, so I moved into the projects, the ones that were across Central down at Washington Street. And I lived there for 3 months I mean, a lot of people in the projects knew, but... And it transformed my idea of the word poor. And I believe that without that experience, I couldn't have had the conversion experience a few years later. I had a perfect example of it yesterday. Pat, our resident, whatever, that was good. I won't name a name. He came and he was so upset at Obama because Obama is just giving away everything to the poor. And I went ballistic.
No, you did.
Huh?
No, you did.
No, I didn't go ballistic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did go ballistic.
Everything he worked hard on.
Yeah.
I was meaning it.
All his stuff that he earned.
So you blew up, Eddie.
The two systems of signs which men believe free them from the physical in space and time are language and money. Language is the currency of thought, and money is the language of trade. Now, you understand what that means? We think that we can be free from whatever is binding us by language or money. I didn't ever want to be richness, and having a lot of money didn't mean anything, but I wanted enough money at any given point to do whatever I felt like doing at that point. If I met a beautiful girl at some X place, you want to go to Paris? I'd go to Paris. Now that, to me, at that time, was the language the enticement. Money provided the means.
It was freedom.
That was freedom to me. And it was, money is the language of the trader, but the merchandise of the miser. Language is the money of the wise, but the goods of fools. Because both language and money bind you 100 million times worse than you were before you started wanting them. The meaning of a name isn't mysterious. It's whatever men agree that it is. But this thing about language and money is critical in understanding graven images. You think that you... Ronnie thinks he would be happy as a bug in a rug if he had a home and a fence around it. If he got it, he would find out that it binds him. Some may think they would be free and wonderful if they went to Paris or wherever. No. Because you take yourself with you wherever you go. So both language and money. I love that. Language is the money of wise, but the goods of fools. Money is the language of the trader, but the merchandise of the miser. And all of these things are intimately connected with what we're going to be doing, i.e., destruction of idolatry. And I just wanted to start this off with this exercise to see how we are all conditioned without having any idea that it has happened to having innumerable graven images on the walls of our mind that and every single one of them is an idol. You don't have to go destroying all of them, but you don't try to. That would take forever. Like Abraham when he went into the temple and took the axe and tore down 499 idols, and then put the axe in the main one. All we have to do is cut off the head of the snake, the main head, the one that was healed from a deadly head wound. And once you find that, then you're free. Amen?
Amen.
Introduction 101, to Tammuz. What? You're laughing at me? Carolyn and Joysanna constantly make fun of me.
Those are the only two you know of that make fun of me.
That's true.
They see you as you are.
They openly make fun of you.
This is more like a list. Not 101, it's more like 305.
Well, you can't understand idolatry until you understand this.
Yeah, but that really was like a college level course.
You need
course.
To. Just
that. Way, idolatry 3.0.
Well, anybody have any?
I don't have a lot to say, but I think what you're saying is that as our intelligence and our bank account increase, for most of us, we rely more and more on ourselves and less on Him. Sad.
We have more things to make idols.
Yeah.
All righty, we'll continue this and tomorrow, if the creek don't rise and God wills. So, take it, big guy.